by Belquist, and he does an inverted twist. Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Bo Belquist, and that could be your dagger.
Simon Rumpfel has it. Simon inside the five. Sis boom ball. Simon Rumpfel, his second touchdown today.
UND Football 360.
Isaiah trying to get outside, a stiff arm, shuts him down, 20, inside the 15, down to the 13-yard line. Oh, that right arm, that stiff arm in the book of Isaiah has given North Dakota a first down.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast. With your hosts, Kelly Howe, Matt Nelson, and Dave McNamara.
Well, the good news this week is there's still plenty of deer running around Wells County this week. You and your old man, not a great shot over the weekend, huh?
Wow, it's... As many are learning, when the weather, and everybody knows, when the weather's nice, the deer don't move, okay, because they don't need to eat, so they're not hungry. So and then we find out that the webcams around the area, and probably around here too, were showing the deer were coming in to eat in front of what the trail cams. I mean, they were coming in to eat at 10 o'clock at night, midnight. So they weren't getting up, you know, leaving at 5:30 when it's dusk. Yep. You know, when they start moving around. No, they're just laying down, taking it easy all day.
You couldn't have broke out the flashlights to go find them?
Yeah.
Lear does work in this building.
Yeah. So. Right.
I heard that works really good for deer hunting.
I think we saw about eight deer, and we literally kicked up all eight. We probably walked 3 miles, I'm guessing, total, and we were exhausted and shot, and the only eight we saw were ones that we forced to get up because we damn near stepped on them. And the one, we had two shots. Two of them were nice bucks. The one got up between my dad and I down by the water and ran around the corner, entered the field, and my dad and I proceeded to miss 6 times. First shot was about 40 yards.
Were five of those your shots?
Three of them were. I actually had the fourth one lined up, and I'm like, well, Kelly, let's see. You didn't hit it at 40. You didn't hit it at 80. You didn't hit it at 200. The 450-yarder, him running across the field, probably not going to happen. So I laid off that last one. But, yeah, it was fun. But it was just too nice. The first day, opening day, honest to God, yes. Light breeze, okay? Not a cloud in the sky, 55 degrees. Like, oh my, we were sweating right, out there walking. And it's like, we're not going to see a deer. We did not see one deer running around in 2 days. Running on its own, moving around Wells County. I mean, we damn near covered Wells County, okay? Driving around, trying to find spots, trying to hit all our spots, walking, then driving. We're doing it all, right? Not one deer was moving. So it's like, all right, well, and the rut isn't on yet. So right. It's like, well, all right, what am I, so we're waiting. There's two more weekends. I'm hoping the weather will drop, and by the last weekend, the rut will kick in, and then they'll be all moving around.
It's kicking in Otter Tail County. I'm going there this weekend, and our party took $3.
So, really?
And they said there's more out there, so hopefully I can get in on that action.
But good deal.
Let's talk about our sponsors here for the 360 pregame show. It's Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino, where the beer is always cold and flowing, and they got the $7 lunch over there right now. Thanks to everyone at Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino, and I think we should do another show up there soon.
That'd be fun.
Maybe once a month in the off season.
Yeah.
We had a good time up there. Yeah. That was good.
And then we'll stick around a little longer to get in on the Development Homes, Inc. gaming, simulcast, horse racing, pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. You can spend a whole afternoon in there, Kelly, with the simulcast horse racing.
Into the night, I believe it was. Yeah, we did it till I believe they all shut down. We were there till about 11, and we started on the East Coast. And we played all the way to the West Coast. We were out at Santa Anita or something like that out. Was at the end, at the end of the night. And then that one shut down. We're like, well, we're out of horses to bet on.
Well, my dad always said, never bet on a gray horse. So make sure you always see the horses before you bet on them.
No.
Kelly Howe Agency, NODAC Insurance. Any auto claims this week from deer?
No, I haven't got any calls on that.
None.
Home rates. Home rates are
We're
good.
Pushing home rates this week.
Just want to put the pitch out. Yeah, home rates.
What's your
are
phone
going
number?
Really well.
What's the phone number to call?
701-532-0624 office line.
Ah, that's a good number.
Yeah, it is.
It's a number to happiness, right? Toasted Frog, fine dining in downtown Grand Forks and Fargo. Perfect date night place. You want to check out the Toasted Frog. The 1883 Collective, that NIL arm for UND Athletics. If you're a business owner and you want to really help UND right now, check out the 1883 Collective. They got some great deals there for business owners right now. Interstate Industrial, steam cleaning and painting in the Bakken oil fields. Marty Shade, thank you so much. And American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. Can pretty much help you with anything with the logo. T-shirts are coming this week. They shipped yesterday.
All right. We're new excited t-shirts to coming have in, folks.
Our new t-shirts.
Yeah, we got the green one. What do we got? The white. White UND.
White and black logo.
360 logo.
Yeah, we got the website logo on the back. So if you want to find out more, tanklogo.com. Just check it out there. Well, it was a tough loss at home. Something that doesn't happen very often. And one of our worst losses at home in some time. Hawks lose to South Dakota State University 38-7. And, fellas, I was feeling pretty good when it should have been 10-0 in the first quarter. I was like, here we go. And
then we
it didn't last long,
yeah,
did it?
That's an opportunity that we kind of missed where we needed to keep the throttle down and just keep a team like SDSU on their heels a little bit. And just didn't happen. We just had a breakdown, and obviously we all saw the second quarter, and the wheels came off the wagon, so to speak, in the second quarter, and we couldn't just ever recover.
Yeah, that field goal, I mean, Elricks, you know, we missed. It was close, but yeah, you got to, against these guys, like you said, it was a great point. And you got to just get them all. You got to get everything, right? And I mean, the inevitable kicked in, I guess. They just have a better team than, you know, I mean, they're good. There's a reason why they won back-to-back national championships, but it kicked in a damn hurry in that second quarter, and they turned it on us. We fumbled, gave them another one right back again. And, yeah, it was, that Isaiah Smith run, though, is just electric. And I think I was out driving at that point when I was hunting. And, geez, I mean, Jack had a great call on it, and boy, it was good. I mean, great start. Nice. Yeah. It was nice blocking up front. Isaiah saw the hole, cut left, little jump cut left, and got out there. So the crowd was into it. You know, it was the start we wanted. It's not like we didn't have a chance.
Could ask for a better start.
Right. So, yeah, just top. You know, it's nothing to be, you know, they played hard. I mean, it's like I never question the team's effort. You know, they haven't quit. They never quit. You know, but back in the start of the transition, I would say there were some teams that quit. I mean, they did not look like there could be. These kids play hard. I mean, they're going hard. They're trying. There can be. They just, I mean, South Dakota State had so many weapons.
Yeah.
That they just started hitting you
over
the
top. Did they do anything different?
No. They didn't even run. I noticed they didn't even play Chase Mason. I mean, I was worried about them bringing him in at quarterback doing the QB power stuff. He didn't even play. Mm-hmm. And no, they didn't really, I mean, it was their normal stuff.
Because they weren't flustered at all. They didn't look early in the first quarter.
They've been down before. I mean, they've won tight games already this year. So it's nothing really surprised SDSU that they couldn't recover from. And you know, I remember we talked to Sam Herder a couple years ago, and, you know, the teams that are actually built to win the national championship. And they showcased that this past weekend, that they're poised to make a good run in the playoffs again because they're a very talented team. And
defense starts with defense.
Were you surprised we weren't able to do more offensively? I thought we'd have a few more points on the board the way we've been playing.
I think they just shut it down quick. I mean, they gave up. I think they adjusted quick. You know, just to what we're doing. It almost not like they made any adjustments. Just the players mentally just gauged in and said, okay, this guy blocks this way, this guy blocks this way, this way. Okay.
They got the feel
right,
of the game.
Yeah. Get a feel for the other team across. You know, that happens. You don't have to change anything. But, it changed so quickly. It was like, I mean, I thought we would have got more points, but we just aren't dynamic. You know, we just don't score like they do. We don't look like they do. You know what I mean? And they just, and like when their big plays over the top, you know, to Wilde in particular, too much time. you know, the blocking, you know, I think they kept a tight end in. So it was technically a max protect look. But if he has 4 seconds to stand back there and Wilde can make 3 moves or whatever he made, he came off, I think he weaved out, then he cut in for the post. Well, it's just too much time. You know what I mean? Like, and anybody's going to get open, you know, especially the best, arguably the best team in the country. So, yeah, it was, I don't know, it just got away. You know what I mean? One of those where the better team asserted themselves. It got away, but it got away so quick in the second quarter. It's like, well, what do you do? And then they just shut it down. You know, second half, they shut their offense down, kind of, you know, got the score to go up 38-7, and then just, you know, it was, the writing was on the wall. We couldn't get anything going. They knew we couldn't get anything going, so they just took it easy, made sure they didn't make any mistakes. And, yeah, it's just, I mean, we were talking off the air. Kind of inevitable. You know, they're better than we are. They're just, there's a reason why they're ranked number 3 in the country, but I wish it would have been a little closer than it was is all, but, you know, it's one of those games where you just move on.
Yeah, and we also talked, too, that beginning of the season, we kind of saw this as, okay, we're probably not going to be able to beat SDSU at the beginning of the season. We're looking at this game as, you know, so overall, there's really not a surprise there when we're looking at, okay, we can be 7-4 by the end of the season, and of that 4, SDSU is probably one of those losses that there's really not a big surprise in this one. So just because they brought so many guys back and, you know, back-to-back national champs. So, and they still have their quarterback, Gronowski, who looked pretty good, too, on Saturday.
Speaking of their defense, so, you know, let's look at the stats a little bit. They're defensively, they had 8 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. I mean, they're not even a pressure. Like, they don't bring a ton of pressure. They just know that their 4 up front are pretty good. You know, okay, we've talked about this before. Some teams just like their 4.
Yep.
Well, then great. You're in business. You can drop 7 all game, you know, type of thing. They don't bring a ton of pressure, and they had 8 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. It's like, ugh. You kind of hate to see that against them. Yeah, just active. You know, they were just really – and they're bigger. They're bigger across the board than we are. You know, their linebackers, they just look bigger. Okay, because they are. They're 6'3". You know, it's just – how it is. You know, and we've talked about this in the offseason. UND's got to get longer, got to get bigger, got to get better, longer guys. You know, and we just don't look like they do out there. And it shows up eventually, you know, over the course of a game. So, yeah, I mean, I go down to UND. We had 1 tackle for loss and 0 sacks.
But then, well, you know, going back to that, what we should have and woulda, coulda, shoulda, but we lost 3 pretty good offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You know, that they're just not easy to replace, right?
Right.
And big quality offensive linemen. And, you know, I think we've gotten by this year. But when you're going against, as you said, probably the best defensive line in the country, there's work to be done. And,
right. Well, it shows up. Yeah, it showed up. That's a good point, Tank. Over the course of the year, yeah, we started out good. And this O-line has overachieved. In my opinion, no.
100%, yeah.
No, I've
because
talked
the guys we're missing aren't actually, they're contributing where they left, right?
Yeah,
you know,
no,
they're not just not sitting there getting beat up in practice every day.
Well, yeah, Hagan's playing for South Dakota State, you know, and Kilty at Kansas State. So, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, and we're probably, you know, we played 4 teams. We beat Montana, but the other 3 after that probably weren't very good. But the offensive line has played admirably, let's call it, for what they are. None of them played before. I mean, there was no experience there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other than Seth out at right tackle. So, yeah, I mean, I don't – there's nothing to really blame. You know, I mean, we're not looking for blame or anything. We're just like, hey, you know, they probably hit their ceiling a little bit when you have to take on NDSU, SDSU, now this week USD. USD's defense might be better than SDSU's. Okay, we're going to see that this weekend. Now, we'll see. Maybe famous last words here, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're
when
good.
You look at the stats, they're number 1 in the league for a reason.
Right.
They should have beat SDSU. I mean, they had that game.
Yeah.
If the kicker makes a field goal, I think they win.
And the game was in Brookings, too.
So they're
that game tight.
They're pretty good, Brookings too. So, yeah, it's but offensive side of the ball, Gronowski was as advertised. He had a whole day back there, too much time, you know, and he's good. Obviously, he won the Walter Payton Award. He's the best. That's the best.
And our depth at D-line isn't the greatest right now,
nope,
right?
Thin, yeah, thin, just not. not what it needs to be. You know, I think it was fine. They did what they could. You know, they brought in some transfers and stuff, but it's just not what it needs to be to beat a South Dakota State.
Right.
I mean, which, so now you've seen it. You know, you say, hey, you know, you keep chasing those guys. And all right, hey, this, look at their guys, look at our guys. Hey, we got to get better, you know, type of thing. That's what's nice about playing in the Missouri Valley. I've said this many times. No illusions. Illusions of grandeur, right, or whatever they call that. From the Big Sky days. Hey, we can compete now. No. You know, it's just in your face, right? I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You see them. Okay, we need to get better, right? That's all. So, yeah, the Johnson brothers at running back, Angel Amar, 175 yards. They were pretty good going around that end, boy, that 21. He's fast. Oof, that guy's a good player. But then Griffin Wilde, 140 yards, 3 touchdowns. UND offered him, I remember, out of high school, but, you know, weren't going to get him out of South Dakota. So, yeah, he was good. And like we said, he got a lot of time. They had time. Okay, and a good player like that is going to get open. You give Bo Bellquist 4 seconds, he's getting open.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown. Okay, every time. I mean, it's just how it is, you know, in football. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do we, anything else? I mean,
5-5 now.
Yeah.
I mean, the season isn't over, right? I mean, it isn't.
It's not over by any means. We still have 2 games to play, and hopefully we can rebound from this one and put something together against another very good opponent, probably just as good and talented as SDSU. So if there's anything left in the tank, we got to be able to recover from this. And, you know, I don't think the 38-7 loss is reflective of the talent or anything like that on our team. Like, they don't give up. They, you know, they play hard. But hopefully they can grow on the mental aspect and be able to recover from this and understand that, yeah, there's still something to play for, but we have to win the last 2 games, and you have to beat South Dakota State decisively this coming weekend to be able to get a good bid to hopefully get a bid for the playoffs.
Well, like Sam Herder said, I mean, I guess there's an outside shot. Yeah, but that's just
so you're
because
saying the there's a chance, yeah, right? Yeah,
a very slight one, but yeah, I mean, it's, you beat South Dakota hypothetically. All right, you beat South Dakota. I guess we're back in it just because the FCS is so upside down this year, and they're, you know, it's a 12, which I didn't think 7 would do it, but I suppose if you say, all right, hey, of your 7, 2 are Montana and South Dakota. Okay, well, then now I suppose the resume is looking pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Against 2 ranked opponents, number 4, and then number 5 is USD this weekend. So
in the past, there was 9 win teams in an 11-game season that didn't get in because they had 9 bad wins, you know, in a Big South, you know, that type of thing. So I guess, I mean, over an 8-win team, yeah. So they still have stuff to play for. It's just uphill because,
right,
dang it, because South Dakota's just so good. they're better. This is the best South Dakota team I've seen ever in my entire life. I mean, I've followed, you know, UND since I was a kid.
Yeah, that's going back to...
Well, 85, I think they made the national championship against NDSU.
NDSU.
So maybe, I don't remember.
I bet this team probably beat that one.
You can't compare the 2 eras, you know, and stuff, but I'm just saying, in an overall team, yeah, since 1985, then let's say, okay, this is the best team without a doubt that South Dakota's had, because we've watched them, we played them every year because we were in the Great West with them, you know, in the D1 area. They were never even close to this. So I mean, UND hasn't had a team that's, you know, looked as good as South Dakota does this year, especially on defense. Their offense is, oh, they're putting up good yards. I mean, we're going to get into it later, but they're, it's an uphill battle, but there is a chance. You know, it sounds dumb, but there is a chance.
There's a glimmer of something to play for.
Right.
That's the positive of it.
And we're at home this week.
Like, right, yeah.
You can't throw that out.
Yeah.
Let's take a trip around the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Probably a fun game to watch. Southern Illinois and Youngstown State on Saturday. Southern Illinois picks up the win 37-33. Kind of an interesting game there, right?
Huge comeback. What was Youngstown up? I don't even remember. 20? 24? They were something up. I mean, it was – and Southern Illinois has nothing to play for. Nothing. They're beat up, done. They got 6 losses or something. They're done. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they come storming back, and I remember seeing on Twitter the Youngstown guy. We're like, what is going on? All of a sudden they're sending out tweets like, what are we doing like on this situation? Why did we do that? You know, type of thing. And sure enough, it gets away. And Southern Illinois pulls off the win like crazy, you know. But
South Dakota picks up the shutout, 49-0 over Indiana State. That's not what we want to see doing this right now. But
how many did we give up?
35-31 I think so. So
49-0 Oof.
Yeah.
That's what I said. These guys.
So you're saying their defense is okay.
They're good. I didn't realize they were that good until I started watching a little more and then looking at the Missouri Valley stats. So this is good. Bob put together a good team down there, and 49-0 though. I mean, yeah. South Indiana State's not, they've scored on teams, you know, and they're better this year. They, you know, a 4-5 win team, call it. You know, that if you had to guess without looking at their record, you'd say, they can win a few games type of thing. Jesus, 49. Yeah, I don't know. That's impressive.
It is impressive.
Illinois State beats Northern Iowa 31-9, but the big news out of Northern Iowa is Farley announced his retirement.
Yeah, that's, you know, great career, though. I mean, he's been there for, what, 35 years? 40? Yes. Close to it.
What, Terry Allen, it said, hired him in 89? So, yeah, 35. Doing the math, I'm never
over 30
math,
anyway.
Yeah.
Made it very clear, doesn't like the direction of college football right now. His post-game, or his press conference.
He's spending too much time on that stuff and losing guys and never knowing who's going to be back. And then mid-season, you'll notice after four games, all guys are, I don't know if he had any. But you'll notice around the country, I'm redshirting, I'm going to be done. Well, you're redshirting to enter the portal after the season. So then you lose, you know, some guys that might have played four games for you. Yeah, just the whole direction. The older coaches who have seen the other side of the coin are just not interested.
Yeah, sounded like he's had enough of this.
And he's had a great
career.
Can't blame him. I mean,
good for him.
College football has changed, no doubt about it.
Missouri State continues winning games 59-31 over Murray State and not playoff eligible.
Thank God. Yeah. No, I mean, they would take a spot for sure. They're good.
Yeah, they are good.
That coach has done a nice job retooling. It took him a couple of years since Petrino left, but they're putting up a ton of points this year. Yeah, they're getting ready. Where are they? Conference USA? Is that what they're joining? Or Sunbelt, one of the two, I think, or something. But yeah, they're leaving. But they'll be good down there. I mean, good area to recruit. I don't think it's outstanding, but I think it's in the centrally located. At least you can put your tentacles out a little bit and go to different states, stuff like that. So
take it easy on the FBS talk over there. I saw your Twitter feed this week. What do you know?
Hey, 4 years I've been saying that they're going to go. So when they do, that means I'm right. Like. I don't think he understood how dumb that sounded when he said that. Like, Feely, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, you've said it for 4 years. Should I just start saying right now that UND is going to go FBS? So then in 5 years when it happens, I was right, and you guys were all wrong, you naysayers? It's been 4 years. He said it himself that it's been 4 years. McFeely said, I've been saying it for 4 years. That was straight out of his mouth.
I would say.
So it's like, what?
He's wrong. I think it's been closer to 10 years that he's been saying it. But.
It's just like, God, kid. I mean, gotta it just doesn't make any sense.
The X, right? Isn't that a fun tool?
Oh, yeah. Just, on the engagement. You got the followers jump up and stuff, whatever.
There's a lot of people.
You got to throw stuff out there and get the fire, stoke the coals a little bit.
There's a lot of people that think really highly of you. I was reading their comments. It was fun. But, hey, let's move ahead to Saturday, the 360 game preview, thanks to our friends at the Toasted Frog. Noon kickoff at the Alaris Center, taking on the old South Dakota Coyotes. I wonder if Wiley Coyote will be there.
Right. Yeah, they're the Yotes, like we talked about. They are they're feeling good. Feeling good down in Vermilion, and they should. They should be. I mean, not a lot of success in the history of that program. There just hasn't been. I mean, that's not putting them down. We've been a longtime rival of theirs.
Right.
I respect their program. It's fine, but they haven't had a lot of success.
They've invested in the program, too, because, you know, when we were always down there, it did not feel like you were at a football stadium, right? I mean, it felt weird.
And their basketball arena.
And turf was pulling into Vermilion, it just felt like a dump, right? I mean, it was like, why are we here today, right?
Well, you have to stay in Yankton and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and
I always did a day trip. I never made the stay down there. But, you know, you look what they've done with the Dakota Dome. I haven't been there since they put the resources into it, but it feels like a home field advantage now. The fans are right on top of the action. They've got rid of that track and the high school bleachers that it looked like in there.
The basketball court behind there. Yeah, it's all gone. Behind the bleachers. Yeah. And then you sit underneath the stands. You're kind of tucked underneath. That was kind of interesting.
They have their students right above us. The bench is like literally right below all the student section, and they would be throwing shit on you. It was just a bad atmosphere back then. But
I remember I caught crap one year from our own teammates, of course. Got an interception towards the end of the game. Ran out of bounds, so I didn't get hit and fumble it. Ran into their male cheerleader. He knocked me down. He just knocked me down. Okay, so I'm laying there. I reach up. He reaches his hand out and helps me up like I'm the little child. Guy was as big as I was. He was a big dude.
Film session was a blast that week.
That just people giving me crap because it was on the TV, you know, when we reviewed it. So I'm like, whoa, I didn't see him, number one. Number two, he's bigger than me and whatever.
Hardest hit of the day was the cheerleader.
Yeah, I know. He just knocked me down. But
no, it's good to see them put resources into their programs down there. But, boy, they really escalated in a hurry. Number five in the country. That just kind of – it doesn't sound right. I mean, they haven't been historically a football program.
It's kind of going off last year, too, because you look at their resume is not very good. It's not, but they're good. They're a good team, so it's kind of a weird deal. So at this time of the year, you want to turn into a resume person. Hey, let's look at the resume. Let's compare, right? Well, their wins are Northern State, who's D2. It's fine. But at Wisconsin, they lost, and they were in that game. I watched it. They were in. I think they had first and goal down 9 or 10, third quarter, and something fell apart. And they had to kick a field goal, and then they never got back down there again. But they had a chance in that game. So that was kind of telling. But Drake, Southern Illinois, Murray State, Northern Iowa, Youngstown, Indiana State. They haven't – I mean, maybe Drake has a winning record. But the rest of them all have losing – I mean, they haven't beat anyone.
But look at what everyone's done to Drake in the Valley whenever they play him.
Right. It's a poor resume as far as wins go, but they're pounding those teams, though. So that's one thing to be said. You got to give them credit for that.
But you have to look at their quality loss, though.
Yeah, let's look at quality losses. Who cares about that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at quality losses, Kelly. South Dakota State. They should have won that game.
They should have, So that's what I mean.
At worst, it was even. Yeah. An even game.
So, I mean, that's legitimately a – if there was ever a quality loss, that would be a quality loss, that game.
And they got NDSU next week. So that'll be telling, but it's at home. They got NDSU at home, so that'll be telling. Let's see, you know, next week. So at the end of the – they're going to get a seed, but it's just kind of a weird schedule in that they're just – there were so many teams with losing records in the Missouri Valley this year and they played them all. They didn't play Missouri State, you know, like that. So,
A Coyote fan, you have a real opportunity in front of you. I mean, you got UND this weekend, and then you got NDSU the weekend after at home.
They beat NDSU. They're a top two seed?
At least, right? Because NDSU's one, right?
So top two. Montana State will probably get the one then. NDSU would drop. Yeah, they'd be tied two.
Two
or three. South Dakota State would probably go to two. They'd go to three just because they beat them. But still, your home field.
Right? Home field for the playoffs. So that's not a bad situation.
They're a good team. You know, and here's what's interesting. Bob Nielsen, they wanted him gone. What was it, 2 years ago? They wanted him gone.
Well, he had him going in the right direction, and then they took a step backwards.
That was a Streffler factor.
Yeah, they got hit by the portal, too, didn't they, 2-3 years ago?
He came from Minnesota, didn't he?
Yeah, and Streffler single-handedly, you know, ran that offense to where they won a playoff game that 1 year, 18 maybe, something like that, 17 or something. But, and then all of a sudden they went down, and His record at USD is only 49-47. So he's a 500 coach, you know, and it's just his D1 record, 65-75. So he's not, I mean, he's.
Where was he? Western Illinois.
A little bit and wanted to get out. They took him. They were one of those that, well, they took ours. That was 15. They took our spot in the playoffs. Them and they only had 6 wins, remember?
That's right.
They were 6-5, right. but 2 solid wins, and we're good. Well, there was some politicking going on behind the scenes, we found out. But them
losses.
And Eastern Illinois had the quality losses, and Western Illinois had the quality wins. So they couldn't lose. Those two couldn't lose. Only UND could lose. You know, it's like one of those deals. But yeah, he's turned it around. And the D coordinator, Johansson, I think he came from Grandview or something. I remember when they hired him. And I'm like, huh, Grandview, that's interesting. Who's this guy? Wow, pretty good. Apparently he's got a good – and they're recruiting well. I mean, when you look at their body types again out there, the safeties are a little shorter. You know, it's 5'11", whatever. But they're aggressive as all hell. It's like, Jesus, these guys. I mean, they're out there. Their corners are super aggressive. They had that Harden kid the last few years. He's in the NFL, I think. They play defense. Just the run support is outstanding. Secondary run support. You know, and that's where UND can, you know, look at that and say, hey, we got to get better. We got to get more physical and just, you know, damn near getting fist fights with guys across. They're just out there brawl. I mean, it's an aggressive, hyper defense out there, and it shows in the stats. What did I have written down? They're second. Well, their offense, second in yards. I mean, they're first and second in everything. In every category, their defense is. So it's like they give up 100 yards rushing a game.
So how do you attack
number
them?
One? Oh God!
How do we attack them this week?
Probably inside.
Come on,
inside.
Coach.
Yeah, I think you can go inside against these guys a little more. I don't know. I think you can. I think you can go straight at them a little more than you can South Dakota State.
Yeah, and you're going to have to if you want to win. Yeah. If you're playing to win this football game, you have to be able to run the inside zone on them.
It's got to be more of that, and it's going to be tough getting open. They're handsy. They're handsy in the second. They've always been handsy. So there's going to be holding, and as I showed in my clip on Twitter, the Missouri Valley doesn't call holding at the line on anyone. I mean, it's not even UND. I was talking about the whole league. They don't call holding, and they don't call holding at corners either. So it's going to be tough. Like Bo, Caden Dennis, they're going to have to fight through that stuff. And if they're getting held, they got to show it. They got to spin quick or something, show you, because it's tough getting open against these
guys.
We're
at home, so, I mean, if there's ever a home field advantage for refs, I mean, sell it.
How did you like to hold?
I didn't hold.
Oh, whatever.
Ran right next to him, swatting arms, just bumping. You know, there's no holding going on. I didn't have to hold. I was 6'5". I'm taller than them. Just covered them up. Yeah. No, corners hold, though. They hold a lot because they're up there jamming. And then if they get beat by one little movement, first instinct grab. But it's good. You know, if you get away with it, it's fine. But it's going to be tough out there. They're aggressive corners, handsy. It's tough. It's just going to be, you know, especially like their offense now, if we transition to the other side.
Starts with the run game, huh? 225 yards rushing per game.
Second in the league again. So we faced number one last week, and we're giving up, I mean, we're giving up 225 to 300 and change every week lately. So you know what they're going to do. Tice and Pierre Jr., they're the two running backs. We've seen plenty of Tice over the years. You know, I don't know what he, just a bowling ball. I mean, he just doesn't go down. So if we have tackling issues this week, it's going to be tough because he's going to make the first guy miss. And, you know, they got a nice compliment. Carter Bell, you know, when I look at the receiving, Carter Bell and that Quaron Adams, he's a smaller guy. But Carter Bell's been around for a long time. UND recruited him, actually offered him, I remember, in the summer, but he's closer to down there. Didn't want to, obviously, want to stay close and play for South Dakota. But he's a good playmaker, you know, type of guy. Kind of a Bo Bellquist type, carve you up, good route runner type of thing. Not gonna blow by you down the field, but he'll get open. And but Pierre Jr., the running back, 872 yards, Tice 650 yards. Between the two of them, 24 touchdowns for those two guys. I mean, it's a ball control offense. They don't take many chances. They're not going to make mistakes. They're going to try to pound you. And then when they throw, it's going to be deep, deep crossing routes, deep combination routes to where they max protect and they have time. And Bowman, their quarterback, Aiden Bowman, I played against his dad, actually, when he was at St. Cloud State.
I think it was...
'96, I think, Todd Bowman was at. It was an ice bowl. We went down to St. Cloud. Complete ice. Field was complete sheet of ice and raining.
The old
worst
prison.
Worst day ever. Yeah, worst day ever. And we went down there and we beat him pretty good. He wasn't able to showcase his arm in that day, but he was good. You could tell when it came out, it was coming out quick. He had a huge arm. While his kid's 6'5", what, 245, it says?
He's a big kid, yeah.
Oh, so he lefty. So he gets back there. They protect. They give him time. And kind of like last week, Gronowski, get back there, give him time. It's going to be a lot of that this week. When they do take their chances and they're done running at us, we got to be covering because we got to recognize it. Don't bite on that run because that's when they hit you, and then they run it at you seven more times in a row, wear you down, then hit you again, and it's tough. You know, they do a good job offensively. Josh Davis, the OC, came from South Dakota State, so I think he played there, coached there, and then all of a sudden Bob hired him away from South Dakota State as he was the wide receiver coach, I think, or something at there. So yeah, a little interesting move, but he's done a nice job, and they know their personnel. And they don't do anything that they're not good at. So I don't know, guys.
Yeah.
This is a it's an interesting one. When you look at the stats, it's a tough one. What else do we got here? I'm trying to pull up those stats. I mean, is there an angle of this thing that I don't know. I'm trying to think how we just run support. I mean, is it just, do we got to just commit? Is this a game where we commit and hope on the back end?
I think so. I think we just have to play reckless, abandoned football and play like our lives are on the line, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And then just, we have to take chances. We have to be able to get players in the positions to take chances and then make plays too. I mean, it comes down to, our guys being able to play against good opponents. You know, we've talked the last 10 minutes about how good USD is and how good their players are. This is a chance for our guys to be, you know what, I'm as good as that other guy across from me. And, you know, go out there and prove it. Don't just roll over. I think we rolled over a little too soon last week. So if there's any sense of vengeance that you want to take out on South Dakota, you got to play for something, right? So I think that's what we have to do. And don't worry about what USD is really doing. We got to be able to not beat ourselves coming into this game. That's the biggest key. I saw us last week beat ourselves. We cannot beat ourselves coming into this game.
You need to have that talk yet at halftime of the Montana game before you take the field on Saturday.
Yeah.
You need to see that team on Saturday, right? That came out in the second half.
It just seems like we get amped up for the game. We have a great first quarter. We have great things happen. We put our position. We put ourselves in position to win. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. No, actually, this other team is better than us. So then we just kind of fold.
Right. And one, and the other thing, too.
We can't let that happen. That's my key for this game, to be able to beat USD at home, is we cannot beat ourselves. If we don't beat ourselves, we have a chance at beating USD at home.
Everything's got to go correctly. You know, I mean, right. It's got to go well.
We have to play flawless football,
well,
right?
We keep mentioning three-phase football, right? It has not been happening at all. Our special teams haven't done a thing in weeks on end. I mean, I don't even remember the last time we made a big play on special teams. That's when we're best. I mean, we say it every week. We need it.
Remember against USD, the opening kickoff? Who ran it back?
Red
Wilson.
That was our only touchdown of the day.
That was our only touchdown. So
we could have won that game.
We
were up
10-0. Right.
We're up 10-0. I think for something like that for a good majority of the game. The defense is actually playing pretty well, and it just slipped away slowly. You know, type of thing. Pedigo made that outstanding play when he chased that guy down. knocked it out and recovered it himself. I mean, it was like insane play, you know, and we could have won, easily could have won that game down there in Vermilion. So, I mean, there's a chance. It's just right now there's no, like we missed, Elrick's missed a field goal again last week. You know, we talked about that. And then got a field goal blocked. We're not returning kicks with any vengeance, really. Punt block, we're not getting to anything. We're not returning anything. We never really did. I mean, we kind of just fair catch. That's fine. But it's not a three-phase thing going on right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, one, I don't know. I've said, even when Brady, like when Brady Oliveira was playing, when he started getting it going inside and he started dragging guys, and then the crowd started sensing that the other team couldn't tackle him. Now all of a sudden the defense was juiced up. And it was kind of a they all feed off each other thing, right?
Right.
And that's kind of how the team, UND, has worked over the years. This year, the last X number of games, there's no feeding off any. There's no food
there.
There's
no spark.
There's
nothing
there,
you know? I mean, sometimes it takes a play. Yeah. One guy on the team being able to make a play. And that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Okay, I'm going against this guy. I'm not going to let him beat. I'm better than this guy. I'm going to make a play on this guy. Yeah. Right? And that's the spark that we need to be able to feed off of. And, yeah, you're right. UND has always been traditionally a team that does that really well. Like, if we have one guy that can make a play, it doesn't matter who it is. It's randomly different people all the time.
Right.
But if it's a run back, like, but also last year, like, we had Red Wilson run one back and then the Wyatt Pettigo, but then we kind of fell short everywhere else in that game. So, yeah. You know, so we just need that full game. And if there's anything left to play for, you have no choice but to do it this game.
And it keeps the crowd in it. And we know how important that is to this program.
Oh, God, the home crowd's huge. Well, if there was ever a game to try something, you know, I mean, they're like, I'm a huge fake punt guy. We all know that. That type of thing, you know, or coming after a punt block. You know, if you sense something on tape, anything, and there should be some sort of, you know, Sean Kostich is pretty good at it, identifying things during the week.
Which one we got earlier this year, I think they saw something on tape.
Oh, yeah, right? Irkman over, laid overloaded one side. No, I don't know if that was specific or if it was just, hey, we're doing it if we get this look and hope, let's hope it works. But numbers are numbers, you know, and there has to be something we can exploit. There's got to, in a game like this where you're 5-5 and you have to win, well, you might as well go down swinging if you're in it. Now, South Dakota State last week, I'm not coming after punts and stuff if it's also in 24-7, 39. It's like, all right, well, the point. But if this game is second quarter, 7-7, and you got a feeling, you know, 10-10, okay, and we got a feeling, hey, we're in this. We're going to be in this till the end of the fourth quarter. It's just that type of game. Now you start, what can we do? What can we do, guys? Do we see anything? Do we see anything? A kick return reverse. I don't care.
Something to flip the field on them
right.
quick.
Yep. We got
to
try something.
And then get an extra possession in the game. Because it's these games, these rivalry games, traditionally, you know, look at USD, SDSU, look at NDSU, SDSU game. They come down to a possession game. Whoever has the ball last is going to probably win the game. And so, when you start looking at those things, you need something special in that game to be able to break your way. And sometimes it just takes individual effort, that spark. So we need that. Hopefully we can do it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm assuming the crowd will be all right. You know, deer hunting's over. Last home game of the year. So, you know, I'm assuming it'll be a decent crowd. South Dakota.
You already gave up on deer hunting?
Well, I'm not going this way. It's nice out still. It's like, well, why am I going back there? Kill myself again? I mean, my dad and I were damn near having the big one out there. I mean, we're out of shape. I forgot he's getting older now. I can't keep putting him in those situations. You know, it's like, because we're used to walking. We're walkers. We don't sit in tree stands. It's walking up and downhill through brush, through cattails.
Maybe
sloughs.
It's time to buy a tree stand.
Yeah, I know. That's the next thing.
I'll be sitting pretty nice this weekend. So
That's the thing. We got to transition out of this and be like, what do other people do? You know, maybe go west mule deer or something to where you're kind of just spotting them and hoping and getting up on them shooting. But then you got to drag them out of there, I suppose, you know, or something. You got to be able to get to them. So I don't know. I don't know if there is, like in North Dakota, I just don't know if there's the easy. Do people sit in tree stands in North Dakota?
I think
a little bit.
If you're bow hunting, you do.
Yeah.
Or muzzle loading, I think,
suppose.
Maybe.
But yeah, where we go, you just don't do that. It's all open, you know, and stuff, open fields, and the deer are there. But if it's warm, you got to find them.
You hunt deer like pheasant hunting.
Pretty much. That's what it is. The pheasants are getting up the same. I mean, we got up, minimum 20, 25 pheasants, I'd say, because numbers were up in Harvey for pheasants. But, so they're getting up all over. It's good to see.
Way you hunt, that first beer when you're taking your boots off, there's nothing that tastes any better than that at the end of the day, right? That's a good one.
Hey, you saw three moose, too. So there's a refuge area. Quick story before. Refuge area south of Harvey. Jungle. Total jungle. You can't even find anything in there. But people still try to go in and try to get deer out of there. But it's a mass of black trees, you know. And all of a sudden I see something. I'm like, Dad, we're driving by it. I'm like, there was something there. I go, it wasn't a deer. I go, are there cows in there or something? I go, it's huge. And he's like, I don't know. Let's go. He goes, so we drive down the road. And we're going. We're waiting. All of a sudden they pop over the fence. The mom jumps over the fence and runs across the road in front of us.
Wow.
A moose with the two calves. And the calves were monstrous. Like, you think calves? The mom was big enough. So then here's the funny part. The two calves didn't know how to get over fence. So they ran along the fence for a half a mile. So we're driving on the road. Mom's across the road waiting for them. They're running along the fence because they don't know how to get over. We stop. We're thinking, okay, we're bothering them. So we just stop. We're like, oh, let them go. They get to the corner, and they sit there and look at each other. They didn't know how to get over a fence. I don't think they'd ever done it before. Also, then all of a sudden, it dawned on the light bulb went off. They jumped over, which is obviously easy for them to do. But they hop over the fence then and run across the road. Well, by that time, Mom was gone. Mom got pissed, I think.
Yeah.
She took off. She was a mile away.
So, right?
We watched her run away. They get across the road. Those two are standing there in the middle of a stubble field looking at each other.
What do
looking
we do
for
now?
Their mom. They're looking for their mom. Now? I think they're going to. So that was funny, though. But, yeah, it was a little story, but made it a little interesting. But, yeah, well, maybe next week, two weekends, we need the weather to drop, and I need to get the word that the rut is on. And then I'm back. And then I'll head back out there. But if it stays 50 degrees, there's no reason. You know,
have you tried to bake a corn?
Yeah. Apples, rotten apples.
Yeah.
That brings them in. But no, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, the crowd should be good though. I mean, I think people will be, you know, energetic, old rival.
Say goodbye to the seniors at least anyway.
Yeah, so. Senior day.
Senior day.
Yep. Good senior class. So
what's that like getting ready?
What's that?
For your last regular season home game.
Yeah.
Did it mean anything to you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
Before the game?
To me it did, yeah. Huh?
I mean, you want to play a little extra harder that day?
You know, I don't know about that, but it just...
I played hard every day, Tank.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yes, I think morning side, I was really late.
Yeah.
I think Kelly was
you
inside.
You left the keg party at midnight instead of 9 the night before, right? When morning side came to town.
No, but hey, we need predictions here, guys. We can't forget that. 1 week we forgot it. I caught crap from a bunch of people. So predictions, Tank.
Cause what way do we off. Got? I thought our offense was going to do more last week, but I still want to say that 38-14 South Dakota.
38-14. Yeah. Man, what was I last week? 34-17. Yeah. 38-14.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
All right.
You know, they just got to show us more this week, and we haven't seen it the last few weeks, and I hope we see it.
Yeah.
Because they got it in them.
We want them to win.
Yeah.
We want them to.
So it's just tough. It's just tough when you get to top five teams.
And you're playing a team that doesn't make mistakes. That's where the hard part is, right?
They don't turn it over.
Bauman
has
they don't beat themselves.
Yeah. He's thrown one pick all year, Bauman.
Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're ball control, and they're smart. He's smart. It's tough. You can't count on turnovers. So we got to produce it ourselves. And like we said, three-phase game. I mean, you just can't count on much from them. And I don't know. Now, Matt, what do you got?
I'm thinking like 28-7, South Dakota. 28-7. I don't really.
28-7.
Yeah. I don't think that as much as I want to say that, we're going to go in and win this game decisively, I just don't think we have what it takes again this week, and the way South Dakota is playing, how good they're playing in the last two, three games, Gosh, I just don't think we have the horses to be able to pull off a win this weekend.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm in the same boat. I got to see it first. We just haven't seen it for so many weeks. How can a person possibly sit here and say, yep, hey, this is the week we turned around? You just, jeez.
Because what do we say the first how many weeks? They're playing with the energy and just the confidence. And, yeah, we had our backs against the wall, but we were able to rebound, and we haven't been.
Right. Yeah, we just haven't. That spark hasn't been there. The energy, the light, the flip the switch type of thing, but you can't count on that. That's why we were so surprised earlier in the year. I was like, geez, how can a team flip a switch? Usually you can't do it, but they were doing it. And I think the opponent had a little bit to do with it, you know, as we found out. But yeah, it seems like this South Dakota team's kind of on a mission. You know, they're getting stronger as the year goes on, which is the goal for most teams. And the one at Youngstown, 27-17, that was probably the clunker of the bunch. Other than that, it was blowout city in every game. I mean, they've been hanging big numbers and shutting teams down. It's a hell of a combo.
Right.
Oh, boy. What do we got? I'm going to go a little more. I'm going to go like a 31-10. I'm going to go something like that. I mean, I think it's going to be tough to get points just because we're limited. We're just limited on offense. We have to do something, you know, in the offseason to make it a little more dynamic, make it, you know, better playmakers, you know, more players type of thing. We got guys, but we're just limited, and we're playing the best defense in the league. I think they're arguably better than South Dakota State's defense, and I've talked to several coaches around the league that I know, and they backed me up on that. They said these guys are good. They're really good. And so, yeah, I'm going to do a 30. I mean, we're not picking. Our three predictions aren't very favorable to the home team, but we got to see it first. We're not going to sit here and be blind homers.
No.
You know, I mean, it's so.
We call it like we see it, and hopefully they prove us wrong. And if there's any motivation there, prove us wrong. Please do. Right. I want you to. I want to be wrong.
I'd love to be wrong.
I'd love to be wrong, right. And I want to be wrong and see us have a glimmer of hope for the playoffs. But I don't think we have it in the tank. And again, yeah, hopefully our guys take it to heart. And
remember, noon kickoff.
Noon kickoff.
Yeah, I like those. I wish we did more. I liked going to noon kickoffs because it's over earlier. I don't do anything between 8 and noon, you know what I mean, other than I'll hit tailgate.
Bag leaves, baby at home before you leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's nothing. I don't like 2:30 starts, 2 o'clock starts. It's just like, you know, dragging. I'd rather get up, get going pretty soon. Although, by the time you're ready, it's like, I got to get to the game.
Boom, although I like the 6 o'clock start.
Montana.
Yeah, the Montana. Yep. Yeah, the night one where you can kind of make an evening out of it. That I like that, but yeah, it seems like the 2 o'clock.
One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other.
Noon 6.
Or hell, you make it 11 a.m.
Right, those 11 o'clock Big Ten kickoffs.
Big Ten kickoffs, yeah.
Yeah, those are all right, too.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, but I suppose it's a TV thing. But, God, because you think you...
Well, it's Midco. They can do what they want, right?
Well, they just got to schedule the programs all. But somehow they found that 1 o'clock worked and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock worked. But, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Did 11. 11 all of a
sudden. I mean, 10 is pushing it, but 11, I can't.
Yeah, 10. They're getting into the Dakota Bowl on Friday. Yeah, we got the Dakota Bowl championships on Friday. What's the first game at 9?
Colin,
I think it's 9 a.m.
When I worked when I worked in Ada, we covered 5 of the 6 prep bowl games.
Oh yeah,
on the radio. That was a long day, and we'd get to the Metrodome at like 5:30 in the morning, and then we wouldn't carry the big school, but we'd still get out of there at 9:30 at night.
Once
we tear down, that was a long day of football.
That's a long day.
What a fun day!
Yeah, yep.
And the Dakota Bowl.
It's gonna be
awesome
a good one.
What it's turned into. You know, yeah.
It'll be good environment. Good environment this week. Especially with the bigger. How many schools are around here? It's Cheyenne and Davies, so that's going to be a big crowd because it's in the Fargo Dome, right? Double A's Horace, so Horace is going to be there with Red River. Red River will just drive down, you know. So those last two games are going to be big. The single A is Kindred, so Kindred will have all their people here. It's 15 miles. It's going to be a big big attendance number. I mean, they're gonna make a lot of money this year. I didn't check the nine man. I should have known that who that would be. But
do they sell beer at the high school game?
No,
they can't.
I don't think they can. High school.
No, that doesn't.
That doesn't go over.
Look how hard it was to get into college.
Yeah, they just got in college last year. NDSU?
Dome, yeah, just the last couple of years.
Oh, really? They didn't sell beer before?
UND's had it since the Alaris opened.
2001, since it opened, yeah. And then UND, no shortage of bars, too. That's what I love. How many bars they have set up in there? Full like, bars. Like I mean, I'm not talking like beer
five
stands.
Four on each end?
It's like, Jesus. Well, then all the beer stands.
The guys in the end zone, I mean...
Yeah, the guys in the end zone.
They need a lot of beer stands.
Well, they got the beer. The guys from Michigan there, and Macville and those guys. They got the beer stand right behind them. So it's up against the wall.
That's
you know,
the
that
best
north
beer
end,
stand
that
in the Alaris, right?
Yeah, the little one standing. Wow, it's 5 feet away from them. So they just sit and go back and forth. Okay, they don't have to leave it. It's fun up there. I'm glad they opened up those ends for people.
Right.
I just want to see
two stories. The little hawk nest above.
We
kind of hit on that.
You
a few
had
years
it
ago.
Designed for them.
I had it designed. They had the blueprint, so they need to follow through on that.
Yeah,
what
run
a great
it by
idea!
A structural
though.
Engineer, quick and right, you know, yeah. just to verify things.
I mean, it's strong enough to hold another level in that catwalk.
Right.
Noon kickoff, 11 o'clock. You can hear the pregame. Coach Berg got a big award this week. Congratulations, Mike Berg. Yep. What was the award? I just
UND media broadcast achievement.
Achievement North Dakota Athletics, you know, award or whatever.
Yeah,
call it. But yeah,
well deserving honor.
Well deserved. Yep, he's done a lot with Grand Forks, in general, and my father-in-law and him. I love this story. Whenever they get together, they start talking about that they used to paint houses in the summer together. To make money, you know, they're both teachers, you know, back in the 80s and didn't get paid a lot in the 80s teaching. They used to pay houses. And Mike Berg every time just drops his head, shaking his head. I can't believe we did that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, hot 90 degrees outside painting houses, but more fun. I mean, that's hard work, you know, and stuff. So those guys are funny. But yeah, he's been around what he came from Baker, right? Montana, I believe, came over and, for his job at Central and never left. So yeah, a gym teacher there, football coach for a long time. And, obviously when he retired, then got in. Him and I started in radio the year you quit, Tank.
Yeah.
Tank quit the sidelines because he wasn't going to go to Arkansas and California every weekend during the transition. So he pawned it off on me. And then I learned how long
a
trip
for you. It's be a long season.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Closest trip was Arkansas.
And
that was the closest road trip. I'm
guessing those were a lot of night games, so you were getting back to Grand Forks about 2-3 in the morning, and then the drive back to Fargo, hour 15. Yeah.
Oh my God! My two-year-old Landon, who's 17 now, he was up at 7, excited to see Dad. Yep. Dad's home. Oh my God! I might have got an hour and a half in. And then you don't say no to your kids. So
no.
I'm up the rest of the day. It's like, all right, let's go to the... I was at the park, I remember, one time at 8:30 in the morning. He wanted to go to the park to right behind our house. All right, sounds good, but let's go. You know, type of thing. All right, so let's go to the park. 8:30 in the morning, I got home at 5. Oh, my gosh. Standing at a park pushing your kid on a swing.
If I remember correctly, the games that were at night, Friday night road trips were more fun.
Yeah.
With the parents. We had a good time with
South Dakota. You know, because it was just us and them in the Great West. So the only road trip would be South Dakota. So get down there. I remember I went down with Dan. I think I drove with Dan Hammer down there to that one. But Mike and I, but back to the point, Mike and I started together. That was his first year too. So 2008, you know, on the radio. So he's been doing radio for 16 years now. So,
and how many schools' color commentator is like having another coach on the? I mean,
it adds a ton.
Yeah.
He's seen things. And he understands
things. He sees
things.
Flow. He sits in on things. And I'm sure he's given his opinion from time to time. And why wouldn't you when you have a guy like that?
And he kind of tells it like it is. You know, and when you listen on the radio, I got to listen a lot this past weekend, more than I ever have, because I was out and in the car. And he calls it like it is. You know, things just aren't, you know, you can't do that. You can. Here's our deficiency. You know, we're getting beat here, you know, and stuff. And not just generalizing. He's pinpointing.
Right.
Because he can see it. And he goes to practice all week. That's what people don't understand. He's at every practice. He shows up because he's retired now, so he's got some time. And he dedicates it to the program, which is great. So he's talking to coaches. He's getting a feel. So when he's calling the game for everybody, he understands coming in what they wanted to do, what they were hoping to do, what the other team can do. And then he can see if it's not happening or if it is.
It's a great resource to have. So congratulations again to Coach Berg. And Jack and Mike will be on the air 11 o'clock Central Time this Saturday. Noon kickoff, the Alaris Center Senior Day as the Fighting Hawks host the South Dakota Coyotes. And we look forward to being back next week to talk about the game and preview, hopefully, not our last game of the year. But like we said, we're saying there's a chance. So we'll talk to you next week.